when you pray, you need confidence first, or you need to get some confidence in God. And sometimes we approach God and we think, oh, I'm not worthy, which is true, we're not. But Jesus has made us worthy. And there's a verse, there's a couple of verses in Hebrews 10:19, which say, in Paul's letters, that's not Paul necessarily, I don't know, whoever the writer to the Hebrews was, it says, since we believe in what he has accomplished for us through the shedding of his blood, we have confidence, I'm going to put that in big letters, we have confidence to enter boldly, this isn't Star Trek, but to enter boldly into the Holy of Holies. Okay, let's just say that again. Since we believe in what he has accomplished for us through the shedding of his blood, we have confidence to enter boldly into the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary of his heavenly presence. And then he goes on to say, let's come near to God with great faith. So sometimes we don't, we're a bit reluctant or we're a bit reticent to come before God in great faith. Because maybe we feel that we've done some bad things, you know, or we've sinned, or we've, you know, or God won't listen to me. But it's what counts is what Jesus has done, really, for us. Yeah. And the first part of that verse says, since we believe in what he has accomplished for us. We believe, don't we, what he's accomplished for us?
Yes.
We believe in what he has accomplished. What has he accomplished for us? What has Jesus accomplished for us? Well, anybody want to answer that? So much, basically. He's made the way for us to approach God in prayer and in worship without blemish. Yeah, without blemish, without spot or blemish.
Yes.
Ursulish just mentioned earlier about the curtain being torn in two from top to bottom at the time of crucifixion. So that meant in the temple that you could, you know, whereas it was only the high priest that could go in there once a year, whatever it was, for the atonement of people's sins. Everybody can go in now, if you believe, because of the shedding of his blood, we can enter that area boldly. We can go beyond the curtain. The curtain's gone. The barrier's gone, folks.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to know. The barrier's gone.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why we can have confidence to be in that, what he calls the inner sanctuary of his heavenly presence. So let's come near to God with great faith.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I think sometimes, as I said, we lack confidence, but it's very important to have confidence in God. You may not have much confidence in yourself. Some people are more confident than others. But you can have confidence in God.
Mm.
Because of what Jesus has done. That's what he's done. You know, disappointment or failure can stop us praying.
Yes.
Because maybe things don't turn out as we expected. It's like having a bucket of water thrown on the fire.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, so we have our highs and lows in our Christian life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jesus talks about. He talks about children and he says, unless you have the faith, or unless you become like one of these children, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Okay? Quite strong stuff. In other words, children believe, or very young children believe anything you tell them. I know that. But it's that sort of innocence and that ability and that agility, if you like, to believe that counts. Yeah? And I want to give an example. Now, I read this out some time ago. This little testimony, I'm going to do it again, you might remember what it is, but it's a typical example of where a child has prayed and the answer has appeared. Okay, and when we pray, we can pray like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what Jesus said, unless you become like one of these little children. Okay, so I'm just going to read it. This is where father wrote this, talking about his son. Soon after this, our youngest son, aged 5, 5 years old. Okay. Often children of five, you know, at that age, they are very innocent and believing,
yes.
potentially.
Yes.
My youngest son, aged 5 years, asked me, "Dad, why don't we have a car like we used to?" I did my best to explain why we couldn't afford to buy one and that I travel by public transport now. "Why don't you ask God for one?" he asked, just like that. I told him I didn't have any faith, so there was no point. Oh dear. It was bedtime as we climbed the stairs along with his brother, who was 1 year older. Once by the bed, I said, "Matthew, do you think God will give me a car?" "Yes," he said most sincerely. So I asked him to pray. I asked him to pray. He willingly knelt by the bed with his brother Jason and said, "Dear God, please send Daddy a blue Mini." Nothing like being specific, yeah? And then the boys popped into their beds. I must admit to thinking, a pity you didn't ask for a Jaguar. But it didn't really matter because I was sure there was no chance of a favourable response to such a childish prayer. That's probably how many of us would have thought. The next day, a Saturday I remember, I left home in Canterbury and caught the train to London Victoria before transferring stations en route for Reading. There I found a small front room crammed with young people ready to listen to my stories. Because he was a preacher, you see. What one person had previously called my dripping on, and which led to a magazine series under the heading. So I dripped on in Reading for over an hour. No 10-minute sermons in our movement. And a gentle stillness crept over the room. It was quite some minutes before a young man asked, "How did you get here today?" "By train," I replied. He then asked if I had a car, and I informed him, "No, not at the moment." At which point he threw his car keys across the room, saying, "Here, have mine.
Whoa.
It's the blue Mini outside." To say I was surprised would be an understatement. I was gobsmacked. When I phoned home the next morning, I told my wife I would be coming by car, but didn't mention what type of car it was. The boys were peering out of the upstairs window as I drove round the roundabout next to our house. "It's a blue Mini. It's Dad," they cried as I drove up. So my wife told me. There had been no doubt the request would be answered. And that is evidently the secret. No doubt in your heart. My son had not been childish, but just childlike. And there is a world of difference.
Yeah.
In our sophistication, that godly attribute has largely been lost. Okay. You know, I suppose there might have been practical things when the guy threw the keys at to him. You know, I mean, what about insurance? What about transferring the registration, all that kind of stuff? He doesn't go into detail about that. But, you know, the faith of a five and six year old
yeah.
is worth remembering about, talking about. So prayer turns situations inside out. Jesus said, John 15, verse 7, "If you abide or remain in me," abide is like living, isn't it? We say an abode is a place where we live. But if you abide and remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. Yeah. So just like the little boy asked for a blue Mini. And it was granted there and then, just believed it. Other versions says it will be given you, or it will be done, or it will be accomplished. Like that. Yeah. It means praying in line with his will. It says, he goes on to say, "My Father will be glorified and honoured in your lives because you will bear much fruit and demonstrate that you are truly my disciple." Okay. So fruit is connected to your prayer life. You know, when we pray, it's not just words, is it? It's to pray with faith. It's got to be the prayer of faith. Yeah? It has to be that. So let's look at a few examples. Just a few examples where people prayed with faith. Okay? In the Old Testament, mostly. The first one is Isaiah 38, verse 2. And this is a guy called Hezekiah, who was a king. And it says in Isaiah 38, verse 2, and onwards, about that time Hezekiah became deathly ill. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to visit him. So in those days, in the Old Testament, it was always, God always spoke through prophets. Yeah. And so this prophet came to speak to Hezekiah because he had a word of God from him, for him. And he gave the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you are going to die. That's pretty direct, isn't it? You will not recover from this illness. Mm. When Hezekiah heard this, what did he do? He turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Mm. He said, "Remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you." So he's thinking back to his life of faith. So then he broke down and wept bitterly. I should think maybe a lot of us would in that situation. But he prayed the prayer of faith. He prayed the prayer of faith. I don't know the details of that prayer, but I mean, it was obvious to the effect that he wanted to live longer, and he was praying that God would give him more years. Then this message came to Isaiah from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah. You have to be a listener to be a prophet, don't you? I mean, you have to think, well, why have I got to go back? I've already told him, you know. But God spoke to him again and said, go back to Hezekiah and tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestors, David, said. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears.
Oh.
I like that, seen your tears.
Yeah.
Sort of heartfelt prayer.
Yeah.
I will add 15 years to your life. It's a good promise, isn't it? So, I mean, part of the reason I read out that Psalm 61, whatever it was this morning, it was where the king said he will add years to your life. Yeah, and that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
God can add years to your life. So, in this case, Hezekiah's prayer changed a terminal problem, okay? Terminal diagnosis, if you like. I mean, the doctor would have come and said the same thing, I suppose. So it was from death to life. But the point is, what if Hezekiah hadn't prayed then? What if he hadn't prayed? What if he hadn't turned to the wall? I mean, he could have easily just accepted that first word, couldn't he?
Yeah.
And sometimes we're faced with things, and we think, oh, all right, that's it, you know. So if he hadn't prayed, he wouldn't have had that extra 15 years. And more to the point, the word came from God in the first place that he was going to die.
Mm.
So God, you know, so it was like Hezekiah was pleading with God, please don't end my life now. Let me live another 15 years, okay? And so that prayer was answered. But the point is, he prayed about it in faith,
mm.
Yeah? If he hadn't, then things would have stayed the same. And there are many situations in our lives that we can pray about, whereas if we don't pray about those situations, it might just remain the same.
Mm.
I think sometimes we've got this thing, oh, God will do it if it's his will.
Mm.
You know? Rather than us coming to God and saying, no, I won't have that, I won't have it. And put in the prayer of faith and believe that's not going to happen because this is going to happen. I believe, Lord, please make this happen.
Mm.
Another short one here, 1 Chronicles 4:10. There was a man named Jabez who was more honourable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. Hmm. Imagine having your name after the word pain. Oh, that you will bless me and expand my territory, he said. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. Simple as that. That's all about that one. Okay. It can be quite a simple prayer. Keep me from all trouble and pain. Interesting. Well, we're not always kept from trouble and pain, are we? But we can pray in those situations that God will see us through those situations.
Mm.
Okay. And... Hannah, this is in 1 Samuel 1. This woman in the Old Testament, women who were barren, it was seen as some kind of curse, I think, possibly, if they didn't produce children. You know, I suppose it was seen as second class or something. You know, God was keeping, because children were very important in those days, yeah, having children. So Hannah, at this time, this was in 1 Samuel 1, here was a woman who had been barren, if you like, couldn't have children. Or she hadn't had children up to that point. And she was ridiculed by others as a result. See? Not very nice. So what happened? So in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. There you are again. Somebody weeping bitterly. You know. And God can handle that if you're weeping bitterly.
Mm.
Or if you're turning to the wall like Hezekiah did and cried. You know, with tears. God sees our tears. So she prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow. Interesting, she made a promise. Vows were quite common in those days, but they carried a lot of weight. She made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. And not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. Early the next morning, I'm just moving on ahead a bit here. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. And Elkanah, that was her husband, she made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him.
Mm.
Okay? Nice one, that, isn't it? Because I asked the Lord for him. Not pain or anything like that. So Hannah went from barrenness to fruitfulness. If you feel that your life is barren in different ways, when you pray to God in faith, you can move from barrenness to fruitfulness. I'm not talking about having children, I'm just talking about, you know, maybe you can't see any fruit in your life. But her decision, if she hadn't prayed, what would have happened? Nothing, probably. Nothing. So she had the choice to pray then. Lord, if you can do this for me. Sometimes there's no other help. There's no other answer anywhere. And sometimes that's good, because that means you've got to depend more on God, doesn't it? So Jesus was a man of prayer. You'd agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It says that he used to go to solitary places to pray. Even though crowds and crowds followed him. But he was busy, but he was never too busy for prayer. So he went to a solitary place, and he tells us to do the same, doesn't he? Matthew 6:5-8, he says, when you pray, go to your closet, as it was then, go to your room and close the door behind you. Okay, let me just look that up. Matthew 6, yeah, I think I'll just look that up. Sorry, I forgot all about this. When you pray, okay, go to your room and pray. Matthew 6:5-8. Close the door behind you, and your Father who hears you in secret will reward you. Yeah, I will turn to it actually, because I want to read the rest of it. Matthew 6:5-8. I don't think that's up there either. So let's just read it. Matthew 6:5-8. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. So sometimes you can make a spectacle of religion, yeah? And sometimes I think that does happen these days, not in the same way necessarily. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. Interesting. Don't babble on and on. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Sometimes we think there's some kind of formula. Sometimes we think, oh, I prayed. You can pray for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and you can be thinking about something totally different. You're just babbling on, repeating yourself. And God, you can't expect God necessarily to answer a prayer like that. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. So you might say, well, why ask him? Why do you ask if your Father knows what you need? Firstly, because it comes from you. Yeah, you recognise what you need and you tell him. And also, praying in faith develops your relationship with the Father. Yeah. I mean, God knew what Hezekiah needed. He knew what Hannah needed. And those people who prayed. But it was only because they actually prayed in faith that they got what they asked for.
Yes.
So we have to vocalise it. We have to go to God. Okay. And then he went on to give to tell them about the Lord's Prayer. Okay. So close the door. Don't have any distractions. Okay. And sometimes people can see that you've been with God. I mean, Moses, when he came down from the mountain, the people saw that he'd been with God. Yeah? They saw that he'd been with God. There was a glow about him. Yeah. So, I think it's important to let a problem or a crisis strengthen us. Not by looking at the problem or the crisis, but by having faith in the situation, seeing it as an opportunity. Yeah. Being confident that God has heard us when we speak, just like Jesus did by the raising of Lazarus. He said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if our prayer life at the moment is a bit like that, if it's, if you feel that it's like a car with wheels that get stuck in a rut in the mud, and the wheel's spinning and spinning and it's not going, the car's not going anywhere. Yeah, anybody feel like that? I think what I'm going to do is just to pray about our prayer life. Yeah? That's what I'm going to do. I'm sorry about that, but just to prove that I did. There you are. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Yeah. That's Hezekiah. Set your affairs in order. Yeah. Okay. That's Jabez. That's Hannah's prayer. And that's it. Okay. Lord, I just want to thank you this morning. Whatever we feel like, you want us to be confident and to approach your throne boldly and confidently, Lord.
Yes.
And I pray for each one of us this morning. I pray, Lord, that we will approach your throne boldly and confidently.
Mm.
There's no arrogance about that, because you said we can, because of Jesus and what he's done. I really thank you for that this morning, Lord. Let's not take that for granted. Peter said, remember, anybody who's... basically he said that sometimes we forget that we don't remember that we've been saved from our sin and we've been cleansed from our sin,
mm-hmm.
yeah, from our past life. So we never take things for granted, but we come to you boldly, knowing that curtain has been removed and there's no separation. I know that if we feel that we have done wrong before God, whether it's deliberate or by accident or whatever, we know that that's forgiven. Immediately we come and we say, yes, Lord, okay. It's like confessing it, I suppose. And you're immediately forgiven. and God doesn't remember it. And so you don't have to let anything like that stop you from coming into the presence of God. You know, things just drop off as we come into his presence. That's what we want, isn't it?
Yeah.
We want things to drop off as we come into his presence. Do you know, that's a powerful thing. Things to just drop. Paul said, let us throw aside every weight that clings so closely, or one of the epistles said that. But things also can drop off. I believe God is saying that at the moment, actually.
Amen.
There's something in the spirit about that. That as we approach the throne of grace, things drop off. Why? Because they can't stand. They can't stay there in the presence of God. And God does it through Jesus. He does it. That's what grace is. It's unmerited favour. That's unmerited favour of God. And I pray, Lord, that things drop off. What do I pray? Well, things maybe that sometimes cling so closely, you can cause them to drop off miraculously. But I know that we just have to make that first step. Just make that first step. When you see the glory and the light in the Lord, you won't want those things that have dropped off. That's probably why they do drop off.
Yeah.
You won't want those things because there is nothing compares to you, Lord. Nothing compares to your power and your majestic glory, Lord. And Lord, when we worship, we don't always get there, do we? Sometimes we're thinking about lunch or we're thinking about the rest of the day or something. But Lord, we want to be in that position where we just come into your sanctuary, if I can use that word. Just come approach the throne boldly and confidently. The light, and I often refer to this song, but when you turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I think that's so true.
Yeah.
I think that's such a good song, actually. You know. So let's can we just, if possible, can we just stand for a minute? Can we just stand for a minute? Yeah. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for this opportunity. Just to come to you now, approach your throne of grace, Lord, to see your glory, to see the glory. What needs